This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Scored the goal that could well send Millwall to win.
Welcome, Millwall fans. It's now 9 p.m. For the next 90 minutes, this is your fully interactive Millwall fan show. We analyse the matches, wins, losses. We feel it all together. That Sunday Night Live is your show. We're the panel that speaks the truth. Opinions blaze, debates ignite. This is that Millwall podcast.
Good evening, welcome to the debrief on the Sunday night show. We are joined by our usual suspects. Let me just move you over there, or else it confuses the fuck out of me. We are joined by the one and only Stephen. Good evening.
Hello, sir. Mickey. I think there's only really one way that we can start this show, and that's with Super, Super Neil. And I'm sure the chat can carry that on for us.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
That's just the best way to start it, mate.
And we are joined by Jay. Fourth show. Looks as if you're going to become a regular now. So welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. Evening, chaps. I said I'm here till you get bored of me, mate. No, so right. Whenever that day comes, you let me know.
No, that's all right, mate. And we were up late the other night, decided over the intro and
yeah, outro. I want to know what the chat thinks. Chat, what do you think of the new intro? Me and Mickey were up to 2:30 in the morning. So, I'm interested to see your thoughts on that.
Playing with different clips. What goals do we put in? What ones do we not? Whether or not we have a UK voice or an American voice, that part was down to Stephen. We're slowly but surely getting there. So, yeah, Omar is running slightly late. The prodigal son will be with us at some point. So, that's all good. So then, gents, like we predicted, really. You said that Mitchell will play a glowing part. You said we said that Danny Mac will play a glowing part. We said Fleming will do good, and we said we'd get a win. And welcome to the correct protection show. I think that's probably the way around it, isn't it, Stephen?
And can I say as well that when I gave my team over and I gave my prediction. Watch it back, chat. I predicted a 2-1 Millwall win.
Oh, is it like that now, is it?
Yeah, so I'm just putting it out there. Just putting it out. We'll come on to the likes of Mitchell.
We're not going
to
get bored of you. We're just going to bin you for being
annoyed more than every week. But no, we'll come on to the likes of Mitchell in the team selection, because I think it threw a lot of us off as well. But yeah, in terms of what we thought
and
Paris was going to do.
And the fact that
the Norton weren't in that, again, the team selection is going to be a big topic, I think. But in terms of how we, as the panel, thought that the game was going to go, how Harris was going to set up, I don't think anybody was surprised from that standpoint. And it's just refreshing. I think Stephen said on Twitter earlier that go and check that out. That is the first time in a very long time we've been able to come on and you a lot longer than myself been able to come on and actually discuss a win. So yeah, refreshing times.
So Stephen, you were there on Saturday. It looked and sounded, and the pictures and everything else, what I've seen and whatnot, looked as if it was a proper old school Millwall away day.
It's the best away end we've been in for a long time. I would go as far as to say, and I know it's just a bit of an odd comparison because we beat Sheffield Wednesday 4-0, but there was something just special about the getting to the ground, the build up, Harris coming out, he come over to us, the back end of the players. And whilst you look, Millwall supporters, we all the same. You just want to see some fight from the team. You know, you might not be the best, but you just want to see some fight. There wasn't really any moaning. The players were backed, even the likes of, we'll come on to maybe other players, but Obafemi and Longman, who perhaps didn't have their best games. They weren't criticised. They didn't get on their backs. It wasn't a rant at them. They just supported them with everything that they tried to do and everything that Harris tried to do. I said on the show on Friday that all I wanted to do, I wanted to go to games of football. I wanted us to create maybe 3-4 chances, score a couple of them and be in with a chance of winning the game. And we did exactly that. Yeah, okay. It wasn't the most classic championship performance, and it wasn't maybe what we're going to see every week, which again, we'll come on to. But Harris picked a team for the opponent. He picked tactics for the opponent. And we come away with 3 points. Can't really ask for much more than that.
No, you can't. Just for you, Jay. That comment was on the screen now. Monica, that's Stephen's mum. So don't bully him. Don't bully him or ask some.
Be easy on me.
Yeah, she'll come after you. So
you're already in her bad books, Mickey. So
I'm in everyone's bad books. I don't care, mate. It's what it is. Mike says, just shows that if the players want to play for a manager coach, then they can play. And that's definitely, we're in a minute. You see, there we go, we're going to get it up. But look, 19% possession and win must be the lowest in the championship this season. It just shows.
On that though, and again, we've all seen the game, we've seen the highlights, the stats, this, that, and the other. Russell Martin, who obviously is just an absolute dickhead, come out and said that they had 4 or 5 big chances. I don't think so. They scored their goal. There was 2 chances in the second half that I would consider big chances, and Tanganga cleared one off the line. They had a lot of the ball and they had 700 passes or whatever it was. But when you're just passing it between your centre halves and your midfielders and you're not actually getting there with it, I couldn't care less. There was times, and we all sit there watching the clock go down thinking, oh, come on, time's going so slow. But there were phases of the game where they just didn't do anything. They you can have all the pretty football you like, as we've found out under Joe Edwards. You know, we tried to play better football. It doesn't bring results. You've got to do something with it at the end of it.
Yeah, and it's a typical Harris way of playing. Harris said in his post-match that we knew Southampton were going to have the ball. They like to have the ball. They're at home. And we come with a game plan. We knew what we wanted to do. We knew how we could hurt them. And it was all about resolute defending, keeping our shape and hitting them in the mouth where it hurts. And we did that. The set pieces were whipped in. We spoke about the set pieces, whipped onto the penalty spot. There was in-swinging corners. We was attacking from the edge of the box. It was very Harris type in terms of teams will have to come and beat us. We're not going to outplay teams. Harris knows that. And I think that is the biggest thing with how we won that game is Harris knows we're not going to go into these games and go toe-to-toe. We probably won't on Saturday, but teams will have to come and beat us. And everyone out there looked like a captain. They was all talking. It was 2 banks of 4. I thought Fleming really surprised and probably shut some people up. He showed a different side to his game, very similar to how we played away at Plymouth, where we was under the cosh for a lot of the game, forced them out wide. The central midfielders were outstanding in forcing them out wide, and we hit them on the break. And it was typical what we expected, what we predicted. And it's Harris ball. It isn't pretty. It's not easy on the eye. It makes the heart rate go because we're constantly attack v defending. But credit to Harris, and even more so credit to the players for how bad it's been. looking like that. There's no emotion, that people don't want to be there. Every single one of them, all 11 and the subs, they put in a 150% shift. And I hope Harris give them the day off, because I wouldn't be surprised if there was anything left in the tank. And it was really refreshing to see the fight.
I totally agree with you. I mean, good evening, chaps. Who's Chris, who's in the chat. So, yeah.
Before we go on to some of the players who probably were outstanding, because there's a couple that definitely need some praise. But there's a couple of players that I wanted to talk about first. Ziyan Fleming is one of them. I thought that, there was something that went up on Twitter that about him not caring. I've given pelters, and I've had to eat a little bit of humble pie over the last couple of weeks, because, okay, it's not the Fleming that's maybe, you know, running with the ball, having shots on goal, but he did a lot of hard graft, a lot of hard work. He did the dirty side of the game and tracked back. He hurried, he hassled, and he was so deserving of when he was taken off. And I actually thought this helped us. When he was taken off and Longman, the ref made them walk on the other side of the pitch and walk all the way round. And they had to walk right in front of us. And he got the crowd going again. They absolutely deserve the applause. And again, a couple other, one other mention, talking about what we spoke about, Neil Harris, players running through brick walls, players, you know, giving 110%. The two Georges, Saville and Honeyman, in the 94th minute, the pair of them shot down the left-hand side. They looked knackered. They looked absolutely shattered, but they made what, 60, 70 yard run to get into that corner flag to protect what they had. Now, would we have done that? Would they have done that under a different manager? I don't think so. The heart and the desire from players that didn't have particularly, I wouldn't say great games, didn't have bad games, but the hunger and the desire to get that 3 points for their manager and the supporters and themselves, absolutely superb.
Do you know the word I'd use? Sorry, Steve. The word I'd use is disciplined. It was so disciplined. Yeah. The positioning, the way we set up, it was two banks of five. Everyone stuck to their position. It was really, really well coached. That's more to the point. It was so well coached. Harris on the sideline. There's an image of Harris. I think it might have been you, Steve, or it might have been Joe.
Me.
Or you. Yeah, it was you, Mick, sorry, yeah. And Harris is on the sideline. He's got his fingers to his head. Just telling the players, keep your mentality. Yeah, just keep your mentality. George Honeyman got booked really early on, and I was really scared. I thought, well, that's it. Because he loves a tackle, and I thought he could go. Again, really disciplined. Harris stuck with him, didn't panic, didn't take him off, and made the subs at the right time, and made the right subs more importantly as well. Harris coached this game.
Can I just say one thing? It wasn't just Harris, though. I mean, Livermore played a blinding game.
I wanted to come on to Livermore as well, because the two midfielders that he started, which we will cover, what he's done with them in the previous stint and what he's done in a short space of time to manage that midfield the way he has deserves the utmost credit. And he really does, because he was up there with Harris on the sideline. He was giving out instructions as well. Adam Barrett needs some credit as well, because he's that defensive coach. All three of them, they seem to work really well together. Barrett hasn't worked well with others, but they seem to work well together. And it was a really disciplined, really hard-fought performance, and that's all of them.
No, that's it. Stephen, by the way, you're lying about your mum, by the way. She said, she loves me. You see?
Brilliant. The thing with that, with Adam Barrett, when the game first started, it looked like he was kind of not reliant on Barrett, but he was going to him and asking the questions, because Barrett had been around the players for long, obviously over the last couple of years. Now, I know Adam Barrett gets a little bit of abuse and people ask him why he's still around, but I thought yesterday especially, he was the link between Harris maybe not knowing what has gone on in previous games or some ideas, let's not make the same mistakes as what we've been doing previously type thing. And the thing with the mentality as well, when Fleming scored the penalty, and I don't know if this would have been picked up on the TV or on the cameras, Harris was screaming at Matty Sarkic, telling him to focus and focus. Yeah. Like he pulled him over and to talk to him and saying, you know, it was 5 minutes to go to half time. And it was like, get us in at 2-1, make sure we're still ahead. And I just think you know, we're going to have a reasonably good show tonight and everyone's in a really good mood, but it doesn't just happen at a click of a fingers. And Harris made the point of saying they only had a day at it, but the way they were drilled and the mentality that they had in just one training session is incredible. And Harris, Livermore, Barrett and all of the coaching staff deserve all of the credit for that.
Yeah. We spoke about certain managers maybe not having a good reputation or feeling like some players are bigger than them. And we mentioned that no one at that club is bigger than Neil Harris. He has an aura about him. He has a presence. And the players felt that. And he demanded it. And the players delivered it. Now, there was the link with Barrett and some of the players, you know, like Flemings and your Denoyes. He doesn't know them, Harris. So, Barrett did his job really well in that continuity sense on the sidelines. But we saw an evolved Neil Harris. We saw the same Harris football that got us into the championship and give us a good first season in the championship. But we saw the management side of it, the talking to the players, keeping them G'd up, you know, keeping them on their toes, keeping the mentality, the right subs. It was just a masterclass. It really was. To go to Southampton, a place that we haven't won for a very long time, where they're reeling, they need to pick up results, and to bottle them the way we did, that Smallbone in midfield had nothing. He did nothing all game. And it really is such a big testament to the players and to the coaching staff, as you just said. And long may it continue, because the Den is going to be absolutely rocking on Saturday. It really is.
Yep, absolutely.
I think the other thing with that as well is there was a comment on here on Friday, and I don't know who it was, I can't remember, and they'd said, I wasn't sure under Harris, but I bought me Watford ticket anyway. And that's just really where we're at now. There'd have been people at 5 o'clock or 4:45, whatever it was yesterday when the final whistle went, that would have gone onto the website and bought a ticket. They would have gone and done it. And I think Harris he's not stupid. He knows the score, he knows the scenario, and he knows that he's got to get any ounce of advantage and cut and edge that he can find. And by starting the way he did yesterday and having those players out there putting that level of performance in a game that we're not expected to win, and there is a comment coming up saying it's a shame that the other teams around us won. Just imagine had we have not won the game yesterday and coming in off the back of all of those teams winning, to win the game was so important, because other clubs, we're looking at it and we're disappointed that everyone else has won at the bottom. But can you imagine QPR, Stoke and Huddersfield looking at us going to Southampton and winning? They'll be utterly demoralised by it. And it's such a big boost to start with a win.
It was never doubted that Harris was going to do something with that team. As much as we were saying, it's a backward step, and we were talking about, you know, progression and all that. But realistically, Harris is like a tin of Ronseal. He does exactly what's on the tin. And I would say that Harris is a bit like a bottle of red wine. He has matured well with age, you know, the experience and everything else. He seems just to be as much as he was before. You know, he is Neil Harris, and he is fucking a scary bloke you wouldn't want to upset. Look at some of the pictures on the sideline where he's screaming. I mean, there was a lot of shithousery where I can't think who it was who went down, and then he's screaming at Danny Mack to say, you know, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, blah, blah, blah. But I just think that he just fed a mentality into the players to go, listen, right, you don't get an easy life here. Everything we do, we earn. And if you want to be part of that, then go out there and prove it. Prove to the fans that you give a fuck and they will back you. And that's what happened. The players went out and started showing you that actually they gave a shit, and the fans backed them the whole game. Like what we said the other day when I gave that rant the other day at the end of the game. If you go out there and prove yourself, then all the fans will back you. It's when you go out there and just don't really do anything that the fans will get on your shoulders.
He installed belief as well. He's proven that this football, though people may not like it, does work. And in the situation we're in, it can work. He's proven that. He would have told them that. If you just trust me, we can get out of this. You need to believe in yourself as much as I will install it in you. And every single one of them players bought in to what Harris wanted to do. You could see that. None of them were upset about the game plan. They was all talking to each other. The scenes at the end of that game were, haven't seen that for such a long time. Every single player coming over, there's arms around. They look shattered, but they knew how much this game meant to the fans. They knew how much it meant in terms of safety. And it's a massive, massive result. And to get that one over the line, that first win, that big away win, will make the next 12 weeks so much easier, because the belief will be there from the players now. They will look at this and go, we went to Southampton away and beat them. And you know what? Not just beat them though, Mick, right? But we went 1-0 up. Now, they equalised and we was under the cosh and no heads dropped. Harris didn't panic, didn't change his game plan, didn't switch it up or make subs. We stayed true to what Harris wanted to do. The players kept the belief and we got another goal and saw the game out. That was the biggest thing from that.
And he was also telling them, keep your heads up. It's not over. Yeah. Carry on. Keep going. As in, a lot of the times before, even under Rowett, the players would just drop. And it would like then it would drop, and then they'd take about 15 minutes, 20 minutes to get their heads back, and then they'd step up a gear. But here it was like, that's all right. They've scored. Don't matter. We're going to score another one. And we're gonna
we had to win that game twice. We had to win that game twice on Saturday. We had to reset after they got their goal, deal with the pressure, and we had to go again. We had to score another and then bottle them up again. We had to play two games of football in that 90 minutes. And it was really, really hard fought. And I don't think we could praise them till the cows come home, but we won't do it any justice for how well the game was managed, how well the players played.
I think as well...
Andrew Roberts, we'll come back to your comment in a bit, mate, all right?
I think the big thing is about yesterday's performance is that I left the ground and, you know, drive home and whatnot, talking about the game. We won't play like that next Saturday. I know for a fact we are not going to play like that next Saturday. Harris is going to play. We'll play that way at Leeds away. Whether or not it works there is a different issue. Leicester at home could be a little bit like it. Again, at home might change the mentality a little bit. But outside of those two fixtures, we won't play with, you know, 10 men behind the ball grafting and fighting for your lives. I think that's the big thing. And I said it off air before we come on. Harris is going to take these games, and we've said it so many times, he's going to take each of them as a cup final, a cup semi-final, and he's going to pick a team on the day to try and beat the team that he's up against. Now, look, I'd love us to win all 12 games that we've got coming up. Is it going to happen? Probably not. But, you know, stranger things have happened. But we will have a team that goes out in every fixture, and the tactics that will be deployed will be different to suit the opponent. Will we see, you know, I don't know if we'll see a midfield of Saville and Mitchell every week. You might see it in a few games, but you might not see it next Saturday at all. And I think that's where Harris has probably learned from a manager, where as a manager, he had one plan, didn't he, really? It was the big man up front, and you either had Morrison to start, Tom Elliott, and then it was changed either or. This time, I think he's probably come back and thought to himself, right, we'll get something at Southampton, and then we'll attack Watford, and we'll get the den rocking. That's just how I see it.
Yeah, Stephen Bevan, where he's made a comment there, and I thought I'd just do it while it was there before I lose it. He said, I watched Edwards' interviews a few times when he got appointed. I couldn't make my mind up on him at first. However, after a few views, I sensed it was Lampard Mark II. I'll tell you what I thought there is that I thought Edwards would do fairly well, but he was going to need a couple of transfer windows. Unfortunately, didn't get that time. The players, obviously, him didn't click. Yeah, quite big names with the players, and maybe they just didn't feel comfortable with him or whatever it was, but they didn't seem to team up for him. The difference is that you thought that some of what he was saying was a bit more media PR, as in with Neil's pre-match interview, he knows exactly what he needs to say, doesn't he? He knows exactly what he needs to say to gear you up, and that was it. You know, you just believe every word he tells you, and Edwards, you're left to go like, yeah, listen, you talk a good fight, but unfortunately, is it going to happen?
Well, we agreed.
Yeah.
Sorry, Steve. I was just going to say, I don't think anybody agrees that Edward was probably the right hire. It was just the wrong time for him. Yeah, like you said, if he would have been appointed in the summer, he would have had a summer transfer window, installed his game plan, because I'm sure he didn't want to play with five at the back. But they're the players that he had at his disposal. That's the system that they had been used to. A Rowett system is more suited to Harris' style of football, especially away from home. So Harris was bound to get better results. But I don't feel bad for Joe Edwards, and I don't mean him any animosity at all. Do you know what I mean? Wish him well, because he probably would have been a very good manager for us. I certainly hoped he would be. But
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
At this moment in time, we need dogs. We do not need trainers. And Harris has installed that in that dressing room.
The only thing I'm a bit weird with is that he's head coach rather than manager. Neil Harris, head coach, just doesn't seem to have the...
I don't care if he wants to be called, if it whatever he wants to be called. If it works, it works.
He could be called the fairy godmother if he wants, as long as he keeps us makes up.
100%. I think yesterday as well, what you just said there, Jay, it's bang on. That group of players and that performance, Gary Rowett would have been proud of it. He would have been proud of a performance like that. And that's all Harris is doing. He's just picking players to play a certain system against a certain team. And he knows that he sent out workmanlike players that will put a shift in and will give us everything. And that is enough.
Well, that performance, I'll take it back again. I said it in our pod group chat as well, is that it was exactly like Plymouth away. It was exactly the same, where Fleming had to do some real hard work leading the line. It was a lot of defending, a lot of backs against the wall, a team who liked to retain possession, and we hit them on the counter. It was exactly like Plymouth away. Harris will just install a mentality of at home, we will go after you because you're not coming into our place and you're not going to run us over. Gary Rowett, his downfall was, regardless of opposition, we are going to play the same way, the same tactics. It doesn't matter how they set up. This is how we're going to play. Harris will adapt, as you rightly said, Stephen, because he has grown as a manager. We said it on the last pod. He's not going to have left Millwall 4 years ago and come back the same Neil Harris. He's going to have adapted. He understands more than anyone how much the home crowd and playing at the Den means to this football club because it's where we have our bread and butter. It's what's kept us in leagues. It's what's got us up in leagues. We are not the best away team. So we go away and set up like that and tell teams, have the ball as much as you want. If you can come and beat us, you can have these 3 points. We'll gladly give them to you. But you have got to come and beat us and you've got to work for it. And at home, like you said earlier, as we started the pod, as you said, rightly so, Stephen, I totally agree with you 100%. We're going to see a different setup on Saturday at Watford because they are now all of a sudden a wounded animal themselves. And Harris is going to go after them. The Den is going to be rocking and we are going to see a completely different setup, I believe. Might not see different players as such. I don't think we'll see wholesale changes, but we're not going to sit back and let them come after us at home. Harris doesn't do that.
No, there's been a few comments, and the last one that I think you're just about to click to, Mickey, is from Connor. Lads, who was your man of the match? One player that I think, for me, was head and shoulders above everybody else, and that's saying something, was Japhet Tanganga. I mean, we've hammered him. I've hammered him, the pod's hammered him, the chat have hammered him. He has been absolutely battered on social media. And don't get me wrong, under Joe Edwards, he did make mistakes and probably deserved a little bit of the criticism. Yesterday, we saw the player that had played in the Champions League for Spurs.
Add your player in the comments, mate. Who do you think was man of the match yesterday? Get him in the comments. Let's go. Let's
I would say, sorry, James, before I lose my train of thought, Leonard was very, very good as well, and I will come on to him. But Tanga, the header was brave for a lone player, which you always get, oh, they don't care, that usually bottle out of things like that, was brave. His header off the line, which was arguably just as important as a goal, they are when they save you goals, absolutely excellent. And just his all-round play, he just looked so much better playing in the back four and knowing what his task was. There was one tackle that he mistimed where he absolutely clattered the bloke in the first half and got booked, but he didn't look like getting a second booking whatsoever. He just did his job. And for me, Harris, when I think maybe went a little bit over the top in his interview after the game, where he mentioned Paul Robinson and Alan Dunn and Darren Wall, Millwall centre arse. But the point he was trying to make was that when you're brave and you're willing to put your body on the line, that's what Millwall centre arse do, and that's what Tanganga did, and obviously the goal capped it.
No, that's it. Hang on, one second. Sorry, let me get some of these comments in for a second. John Parr, look, I don't think everyone's a Harris expert or how he plays or anything else. What we're saying is that he's just come back and just instilled the Millwall mentality to those players. And that game that went out on Saturday was a absolutely Millwall shit house arena, no matter what's going to happen. We're going to win this. If you score another one and it goes 2-0, we're going to win this 3-2. And if you score another one and it goes 3-0, we're going to win this 4-3. It was just that absolute fuck you Millwall attitude. What was it? And which we knew you'll get from him. We still don't know what his capabilities are as a manager. But what we do know is that it looks as if you instill a bit of that Millwall mentality into the players. They do seem to react to that, and they do seem to take it on board and actually have it.
Yeah. I think Stephen was – I can't echo or add on to anything that he just said. I think that what Harris has installed is that if you put your body on the line, good things will come. If you take these risks in the opposing box, good things will come. Tanganga knew he was going to get cleaned out, but he took the risk. It was there and we benefited from it. He got himself in the right position all the time. He was clearing up. He made Cooper look a really competent defender because Cooper have much to do.
That's exactly it.
I can't find anything rattling my brain from watching the game where I can single out something that Cooper did. Now, that's not a disrespect to Cooper, because Cooper was part of that back four and he did his job just as much as the rest of them. But Tanganga really installed a lot of confidence in that back four because he was everywhere. He cleared up, he cleared off the line, scored the goal, and it was a perfect performance. And it was a body on the line performance. He didn't look nervous. He didn't look shaky like he did under Edwards, where we tried to play it out from the back, worrying about a mistake or he had to drift wide. It was, I want you to play centre half and I want you to clear up. And that's what they did. And you cannot praise Tanganga enough. He looked absolutely shattered. He took a big knock as well from that hit from the keeper. And maybe under Edwards might have took him off and gone, oh, you know, I don't want to risk it. Harris, you're right, get yourself back out there. This ain't over. And it was a real...
He didn't even know he'd scored either. Obafemi and Fleming were sort of telling him, and like as he was had to walk off because he had treatment, he didn't know where he was, didn't have a clue.
He was absolutely fantastic, and he was a compliment to Cooper. I think they played very well together without Cooper really having to stand above the rest. You know, I thought Tanganga really held the line and probably led that back four a little bit more. I thought Leonard really controlled it down that right-hand side. But that gave Tanganga the ability to stay true to his position, because Leonard was so good 100%. At keeping it tight on that right-hand side that he could stay central. He didn't have to mop up after Leonard. 100%. And it was just a really, really good performance from Tanganga. And, fair play, man of the match for me too.
100%. I mean, Chris Brown, this is the reaction Edwards had after his first game. Let's see how the team reacts after
that. That is true.
I agree with what you're saying, but I honestly think that the players will be shit scared to fucking lose. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? I just think that in such a short amount of time, if Edwards and Livermore and Barrett have managed to inflict this Millwall mentality into him, which, let's be honest, it was as if we fielded 11 different players to the players what played the previous game, which we did speak about, and we will come in and speak about this a little bit further on, is that how the hell is it, you know, who, why is it if the players performed against Southampton, which we sort of thought they would and hoping they would, and they did, that why weren't they performing like that in the previous 2-3 games? Which leaves a lot of questions, as in we were probably right that he'd lost the dressing room and the players probably didn't necessarily have respect for him. Harris comes in with Livermore. You're not really going to question the club's greatest living goal scorer. You're not really going to question a guy who was manager, a guy who left and come back after surgery and basically recaptured what he wanted to do. And yeah, that mentality was there hugely. And I honestly think that some of the players will be absolutely shit in a brick if they lose. Come back to, there's another good comment there from Andrew Roberts. He says, Harris is canny, bigging up Tanganga and comparing him to some of our previous great centre-halves. Yeah. That is a confidence building for Tango and great man management. And I think
tactical punch, that.
Yeah, and I think if you watch that Sky documentary, what was it, Transfer Day Deadline or Deadline Day, whatever it's called, on Sky, it is on YouTube. It's hard to find, but it is on YouTube. If you watch that, it looks as if, I think that's what Tanganga needs. He's one of those what you need to blow smoke up his arse a bit to make him feel that special.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he needs. Once you make him feel that, he'll go out there and perform like he did on Saturday.
I think it's one of those, isn't it, where he's come from Spurs, and I know he was out in Germany, but he's come from Spurs, and you know, we all know that Premier League footballers have this kind of aura, don't they, about that the world owes them everything and they need to be protected and tackles go in and they roll around on the floor, big money, all the cliches. I think perhaps Edwards made the right call in going for a player like that. I just think he clearly It just took him a little while to settle. He might be fitter now. Who knows? I don't know. I don't think he looked unfit. Maybe in the first game at QPR when he hadn't played for a while. But certainly coming in. And lone players. We always talk about, do the lone players care? Are they really that interested? Well, we had two out on the pitch to start. In Longman and Tanganga, they were both shattered. Longman
three,
walked around past us.
Obafemi as well.
Obafemi. Yeah, that one I'm not convinced on.
We'll
but
come on
we'll,
to that.
We'll come,
we'll
to,
come
that.
On to that.
But Longman, as much as I don't think he had a great game, he still gave us everything. Harris, it doesn't matter if they're contracted. It doesn't matter if they're Cohen at the end of the season. It don't matter if they're on loan.
He's always had a good response from loanees, though, isn't he?
Yeah, but you still got. But what I'm saying
if you look at the loanees he's had over his time at Millwall, they've always pretty much performed for him, right? But if you look at the loanees we've had under Rowett and Edwards, both of them couldn't necessarily get a tune out of quite a few of them.
But where you've got Harris to remember. You've got to remember that the loanees that Harris brought in when he was manager were his loanees. These are not his loanees. They're loanees that have been brought in by Gary Rower and Joe Edwards. So they're not players that Harris might have even identified. He might have wanted them, but he might have thought, oh, we're not going to get them, or they're not going to come to us.
But
so
I think you've got to give them the loan, and I thought again,
obviously, Brooke Norton Cuffey come on again. Didn't set the world alight, but still bought into what he was asked to do down that right hand side. So,
I get that.
The thing is, though, Steve, is that none of these players we're talking about, you know, how the lone players played really well under Harris yesterday. Some of the players out of contract as well look like they just signed a new contract. But Harris's resume alone is enough to make players turn around and go, I want to play for this guy. This guy knows what it takes to play in this division. He knows what it takes to manage in this division. He knows what it takes to play and manage at this club. I can benefit from Neil Harris. Now, could these players think that about playing under Joe Edwards? Probably not. You know, resume's pretty short. Good coach, no doubt of that. But Harris has been in the situations on the field, the tough times, the good times from winning. And he's able to have these conversations with an Obafemi, who's a striker. And they can have chats about the past and how Harris felt and the mentality it took to get there in the hard times. He can relate, is more to the point, because he's been at this level.
Yeah, Gary Johnson's got a thing here where you're talking about Harris and whatnot and his resumes and all this sort of stuff. He says, does anyone else think it was a masterstroke playing Danny Mack left back as their right-sided players were left-footed and kept coming one-sided for Danny Mack to contain them?
Well, I said it in the chat earlier, in our chat, and I said that Adozie, who was having a good game, he was bottled by Ryan Leonard. I will do. He was bottled by Ryan
Leonard. Tonight, gents. Both of them seem to be, they seem to have been having on their caffeine tonight, mate. Fuck me, do you know what I mean?
He was bottled so bad by Ryan Leonard that he switched wings and he was bottled in the exact same way by Danny Mack. He had nothing. The two fullbacks were so key because they was going wide all the time. Even the commentary made a point of it, of that it's all going down the left, it's all going down the right. They dealt with more than what the centre-backs did or what the midfielders did. Ryan Leonard and Danny Mack had to do so much more than everyone else. While everyone kept the shape and allowed it that Southampton had to do and go down them routes, they was there every chance that Southampton got. Leonard was there. And Danny Mack was there. When you got your wingers having to swap wings and having no success either side, really was a great performance from both. And fair play to Harris for sticking with it.
100%, one sec. Don't forget that if you are watching on YouTube, please make sure, because there's a lot of first-timers by the looks of it, or you know, you're watching publicly tonight, please make sure you tap that subscribe button. And also, there is a hell of a lot of you on watching on YouTube. I understand if you're watching on Facebook and stuff. If you're on Facebook, please like and share. And obviously, if you're on YouTube, please press that like button. Also, have you noticed that Bobby has gone missing again? Maybe he felt that I weren't going to interview him last week. We're going to do your show, Bobby. Just get in touch. But you've got my number, mate. Just WhatsApp and we'll organise it. But
on the subject of Leonard and Danny Mack, both of them were excellent. One-on-one defending is very tricky because you, in this division, you come up against some outstanding wingers. But Ryan Leonard, I'm going to make a bit of a statement here. If Ryan Leonard stays fit for at least 6 or 7 of the remaining fixtures under Neil Harris, he will win player of the season. Hands down, he'll win player of the season. He was good up until his injury. He was really good up until his injury. And no one at Brooke Norton Cuffey was up with him. He got injured and has kind of gone off the ball a bit. If Leonard stays fit for the majority of these fixtures, he's going to absolutely run away with a vote.
Hang on. Yeah. Troy Parrott weren't Harris, was he?
No, it was, he was a
Rout, yeah. I am right then. Do you know what I mean?
What I liked about Leonard as well is, and with Saville and Honeyman, is the shithousery had made its way back to Millwall. Now, that corner scenario, we held it down there for 3 or 4 minutes. That's all Neil Harris.
Yeah,
he was the master at 100%. Feeling a little knock in the back, coming down in the corner, wasting a minute. With the throw-ins, every single throw-in, Leonard was walking really slowly, weren't picking the ball up, waiting for the ball boy to give him the ball.
Even when he took the ball off under his shirt.
When he took the ball to him, and then there was a little bit of shit house where Russell Martin's complaining about how far Leonard's going forward. And then Leonard, as he took the throw, ran straight in front of Russell Martin and threw it. It was just
Russell Martin's reporting for dangerous tackles.
Because he's a massive prick. And at the end of the game, he didn't shake Sarkic's hand. It was just the fact that Neil Harris and Millwall, we got into his head so bad to the point where 100%. He's been crying. Saints fans have been melting, full meltdown mode on the internet. Like, we have caused a complete and utter meltdown in Southampton this week.
Also, before we move on, just a second.
Nicky's rant has probably woken a couple of them up too. Yeah, well, I reckon it probably did. I hope so.
Before we move on to any other players, just one more thing on Ryan Leonard that I think would have gone unnoticed, but I made sure I wanted to get this in this section. our second goal actually comes from Ryan Leonard not giving up that overhit cross, because Longman puts it over the top. It goes too far. And Leonard beats whoever it is to the ball, goes past him and gets the ball across. That those little things, that little bit of desire to not let the ball go out of play, to keep on the attack, because we knew he wasn't going to have that many attacks. And Leonard must have read the situation, kept the ball in. Look, he's not the best player we've ever had, but he is certainly one that if he wasn't so injury prone, he would have been a top player for this club. May have gone on to better things, but keep him fit. He runs away with player of the season. 100%.
I think that point you just made, sorry, Mick, about Leonard not giving up. There was a bit where Bradshaw, late on in the game as well, the ball looks like it's going out for a goal kick and he's chased it down. Everyone's left it and he just sorted it to the side out for a throw-in right next to the corner flag, which got us up the field and the shithousery. Yeah. But not shithousery to the point where it's disrespectful, it's muggy.
It's clever.
Harris type of way. Clever, tactical play was all over the field.
Let's get through some of these star comments while I've got a chance to speak under you two. I don't know what the fuck's happened tonight, but you two have fucking got to have a coffee ban before coming on this show, mate. Fucking Red Bull. There we go. You two are banned from Red Bull.
Mate, you need to get... keep just putting the comments up as we're going.
Fucking... There is some where I need you both to shut the fuck up so that actually these are talking points, what I want to do with them, but it's just fucking aggro. But hang on. Right. So, Chaps put something in about fucking 4 weeks ago and said a 55% increase in defensive actions versus Sheffield Wednesday says it all. Structured, planned and executed superbly. Andrew Roberts come up with another one which said, do you think Harris will play Mayer at some point? Danny did well on the left, but sometimes he had to stop to bring the ball into his right foot. Mayer wouldn't have that problem and also has the pace.
I don't think that we can really make them sort of assumptions on Mayer yet. Mayer didn't even make the squad for whatever reason that is, you know. And I'm sure we will see it. Shout out to Chaps, by the way, as well. If you didn't check out his pre-recorded live earlier, go give it a... Is he gone?
It's all right. He's giving comments at the beginning and I was putting them up and you lot just wouldn't shut up. So it was hard work.
But yeah, go check that out if you haven't, because it's a real good listen. But yeah, I don't think we can comment on Mayer yet, and we won't trash him and we won't big him up, because we're yet to see what his position under Harris regime.
You say he hasn't done anything. I mean, over there is C. Tobes FPL line. Matured, he hasn't done anything in his time away from the club. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Yesterday was a lucky win. He may keep us up, but then what? Square one. Didn't he get Cardiff to the playoffs? And weren't he fourth with Gillingham when he got fired over when the other fella brought in someone else? So I wouldn't say he's necessarily done nothing.
All the fans of the clubs that he's left previously, Gillingham and most recently Cambridge, their fans have been livid. They really didn't want him to go because he turned corners with them clubs. He was doing really well with Cambridge. He got them out of a tough situation and they're really upset that he left. We don't expect Harris to be this Jose Mourinho 2.0 from being away from us for 4 years, but there's no doubting Harris has learned a lot along the way and he's refined himself as a manager. His game management and his substitutions on Saturday were perfect, and you could see absolutely. He'd grown absolutely. As a manager. We criticised him in his previous stint for making subs too late, maybe not changing the game plan up. And I know it's only been one game, but we will see it again on Saturday.
No, that's it. Stephen,
I've got no doubts about that.
No, that's it. David Squire says, Stephen, what do you think of Mitchell now, Stephen? Because in previous shows, you don't think Mitchell... You don't think Mitchell is one of our best players, best midfielders?
I'm going to defend Stephen here because I thought Stephen actually bigged him up on the last pod, to be honest. I thought he'd give him he didn't slander him, that's for sure. But about Mitchell.
He has on previous shows. That's where David's, David's coming from. Is he has on previous shows.
Corrected.
Yeah. So Stephen.
He's still not one of our best midfielders. Let's just put that out there. he had a very, very good game. And I'm sure Jay will cover this point a lot better than me because he was bigging him up to play in the game yesterday. However, he was excellent. He epitomised everything that you'd want from a Millwall player under Neil Harris. I think you might see a lot more of him, and he does need to add more to his game, but can't fault him from yesterday. And if he's gonna, if we're gonna play in those against those big teams, and you're gonna need grafters, then Billy Mitchell will need to play in those games. If you're playing teams like Rotherham, where you need to be a bit expansive and create chances, I don't think he's the right midfielder, but that will come as and when we're playing against certain opposition.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.